All right, man. Welcome back to Dumb View Fridays. It's episode 39. We in week two of the college football season. My picks for week one was fucked, to say the least, man. I was out here. I put a curse on a lot of people. Let's get into it, though. I did a couple of picks last week, and I'm thinking this is what I'm gonna do. I'm thinking this is what I'm gonna do every week. Is I'm gonna quickly review the picks I did the week before, and then I'm gonna do the picks for the upcoming week, and then we can just laugh at how wrong I am. But last week I picked Texas to beat Maryland. That didn't happen. I picked Washington to beat Auburn. That ain't happen. I picked Michigan to beat Notre Dame. That ain't happen. I picked Miami to beat LSU. That damn sure didn't happen. Yeah, man, just out here cursing everybody. I gave a lot of people the kiss of death, but these are the ones I did get right. I picked UCF to beat UConn. I mean, that was no I don't think I was going out on a limb on that one. I picked Bama to beat Louisville. Once again, I don't think I went out on a limb there. And I picked Virginia Tech to beat Florida State. And I did go out on a limb there, but I'm a fan, so I was supposed to pick my team. So everyone I looked at objectively, for the most part, I got wrong. And the ones I got right, those teams were gonna win. It would have took God to get in, to intervene for those games to not go that way. So that's where we at. That's where we at with week one, man. I don't know what to say. I hope nobody took my picks to the bank or to your bookie. 'Cause if you owe people, man, pay your bets, man. It ain't worth getting hurt over. Let's move on to week two. I got a couple week two picks, and then we can get into the next topic, and then we can get into this mailbag. This week is a couple games that caught my attention. UCLA plays Oklahoma, number six Oklahoma. I don't know if y'all watched last week. And speaking of bad picks, I didn't pick this on the podcast. I just tweeted this out a couple times. I had picked Ohio State. I had picked Oklahoma to beat Florida Atlantic. But I said that game was going to be a shootout. That game was going to be close. Lane Kiffin, ain't no way. And then I was thinking about Oklahoma's defense from last year. Oklahoma defense can't stop nobody. You better believe Lane Kiffin's gonna go up there and make a shootout of it. Man, no. Man, and Florida Atlantic's good. They was a conference champion. I think they had 10, 11 wins. Like, this ain't like, some random bottom of the barrel Sun Belt team they invited in. Like, Florida Atlantic's a conference champion. Albeit they play in the Conference USA or something, but they still is a good team. And Oklahoma ran them boys out of the building by the second quarter. They ran them boys smooth out of the building. So that was another one I got wrong. But UCLA plays at Oklahoma, and UCLA lost to Cincinnati last week. So that lets you know what level Chip Kelly got them boys at. It's not time for Chip Kelly yet. When Chip Kelly fully gets his guys and he fully has everybody on the nutrition system and all that Oregon shit that he had implemented, then UCLA will start to see results. But as of right now, no. Oklahoma's gonna win big, man. I don't even think that one's gonna be worth watching, honestly. Number three, Georgia plays number 24, South Carolina. This game is interesting. I don't think this. I think everybody's picking Georgia here, but South Carolina has talent, man. South Carolina got a talented group of receivers. They got a talented quarterback, and they got a defense that's not getting much love, I guess, across the country. But they got a defense too. I still pick Georgia to win, but this game is going to be closer than what people think it's going to be. South Carolina's going to make a game of it, and I think it's in South, Williams-Brice Stadium. So Don't be surprised if it's a game and going into the fourth quarter. South, I don't know what the point spread is, but that game ain't gonna be. Georgia not just gonna run off on South Carolina. You got Clemson, number two Clemson. They play Texas A&M. I got Clemson winning big. Texas A&M, they're definitely not ready for that stage, and they're not ready for that defensive line, and they're not ready for that defense. I know Jimbo knows Dabo very well, but I mean, to be honest, Dabo ran that man out of the Atlantic Coast Conference, and that was with Florida State. And now Jimbo's trying to change the culture over there at Texas A&M. They're not ready to compete with Clemson, the Clemsons of the world, just yet. I think Clemson will win that game by double digits. You got number 13, Penn State, and they play Pitt. Penn State should have lost last week to Appalachian State. Appalachian State had them beat. The game was 31 to 31. Appalachian State had the ball in their red zone, and all the young man had to do, he ran for the first down. All he had to do was fall down inbounds. It was like a minute and 50 something seconds on the clock. They could have started to at least get Penn State to burn some timeouts or something. But young man scored too fast. It was what it was after that. I turned away from that shit. I was like, dog, that game is over. Penn State is going to win. Everybody's hitting me up like, no. Wait a minute. No. When you got the number 10, I think they was number 10 last week. I don't remember. I think they were number 10 last week. But when you got a top-ranked Power 5 opponent who's at home, when you got them on the ropes and you can finish them off, you do that. You do that. The clock is your friend. You don't take no chances with them. And you damn sure don't leave them damn near 2 minutes to go down the field. Trace McSorley, they had two timeouts. I said, damn, you left them the whole fourth quarter. That game over with. And sure as shit, Trace took them boys right back down the field and won it. All that said, Penn State gonna beat Pitt. I think they played Pitt last year and they got real ugly real early. You know how Pitt is. Pitt is shitty enough to get their ass bust by everybody, and then Pitt gonna turn their ass right around in the ACC play and compete with everybody. The top of the conference and the bottom, and lose to the bottom of the conference. Pitt is so weird. I don't know why they're like that, but they're gonna lose to Penn State by like 70 points, and then they're gonna turn around and beat Clemson or some shit. That's just the way it is, I guess. And then you got number 17, USC. They play number 10, Stanford. This game I've been struggling with. I'm still struggling with it to this as I'm talking about this. Because Stanford got Bryce Love, a Heisman contender. And he got stuffed last week against San Diego State. And I don't think that'll happen 2 weeks in a row. Like, I truly don't think it'll happen 2 weeks in a row. USC, who always has talent, like, as far as, oh, they lost Sam Darnold. USC is one of those football factory schools. Like, even when you think they suffering losses, they not. They just plugging in new stars. So that game is going to be a really good game. That game is going to probably come down to the fourth quarter as well. I got USC pulling the upset. It's an upset to some, but it's still USC. Yeah, I got USC winning that game. And that's my picks, man. That's my picks. Let's do a quick review. UCLA, Oklahoma, I had Oklahoma. Georgia, South Carolina, I had Georgia. Clemson, Texas A&M, I had Clemson. Penn State and Pittsburgh, I had Penn State. And USC versus Stanford, I had USC. Virginia Tech plays William & Mary. And it's not even worth saying who's going to win. I guess you want to see certain things out of that win. You know, you want to see the guys look a certain way. You want to see, you know, clean execution. You want to see no penalties. You want to see no injuries, of course. And you want to see the backups, you know, the backup guys start to get some playing time, and you want to see your young defense improve. You want to see them flying around like they did last week. Of course, when they played Florida State, it's prime time. It's ABC. The whole country's watching. They did a great rating. They did a great rating as far as, you know, so I forgot how many million people watched it. You get up for that one. Now on a short week, I think it's a 2 o'clock kickoff, and you got William and Murray coming to town. You know, everybody's been sucking your dick all week. Oh, y'all the greatest, you know. Now you got to turn around and do it against a supposed cupcake team. And hopefully the defense got that same energy they had on Monday. And it's not we don't end up sleepwalking and this game is closer than it needs to be. This game don't need to be a nail biter. This game don't need to be nothing. They need to go in there, get their head cracked wide open, and then put them on the bus, send them on their way. That's how I feel about it. No need to do a score prediction. Like I said, as long as they get their ass bust and they get sent on their way, I'm good. And we don't have any major injuries. That's all I need to see. Let's move on to the next topic. Nike made some headlines this week. Nike has endorsed Colin Kaepernick. The very polarizing Colin Kaepernick, by the way. They've endorsed him. They put some money in his hand, put some money in his pocket, and they're using him in their 30th anniversary of their Just Do It campaign or whatever. And me personally, I love it, you know. I love the ad. I saw the ad on Twitter. They had posted it. And it's a beautiful ad. It has a powerful message. And if you don't take anything from this whole, you know, campaign, you got to look at that commercial. You got to look at what's being said. And, you know, he's talking about, and he's showing people that's crippled that went on to do amazing things. He's talking about people who beat cancer. And it's a powerful ad. No matter how you feel about the messenger, if you don't get the message, you already lost. You already lost. Because that is a powerful message from Nike and Colin Kaepernick. Salute to Nike. Nike has always been ahead of the curve when it comes to these types of, they've always backed the athletes. You know, Nike never ducked on no sucker shit. Nike ain't never been afraid to put theyself out there. Nike stood behind Michael Vick when he had his, I won't say they stood behind him, but Nike said, look, man, we're going to distance ourselves, but we're not going to cut ties, you know? And as soon as he got his life back together, Nike was right back behind him. Same thing with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods had his little situation. Nike said, look, we're not leaving. You just got to get your shit together. Tiger Woods got his shit back together. You know, Nike backed them again. So that's the way Nike operates. You know, Nike is out here like, look, man, we'll work with you. We'll work with you, this and that. And I'm not trying to compare Colin Kaepernick to them people, because those people did shit that was wrong or shit that was bad. Colin Kaepernick didn't do nothing bad or nothing wrong. He didn't break any laws. He didn't cheat on no wife or nothing like that. All he did was protest police brutality and social inequalities in our justice system, which needed to be protested, by the way. I don't give a fuck who gets upset. It needed to be protested. Police brutality is out of fucking hand, and social inequality is out of hand. Like, and I think with these protests, and I'm not trying to do it, dog, it's been 2 years, but at least with these protests and the conversation that's being had, I do think some people have seen, okay, maybe police brutality is a little crazy. Maybe it's some people that out here that is getting fucked over by the system that don't deserve to be in prison for whatever. You know, some people have benefited from that conversation. Some people, you're never going to change their opinion. They done already cut this podcast off. They don't want to hear it. They think, fuck that. He disrespected everything I believe in, and that's, you know, you're not gonna get to those people. But if you change one person's heart, damn it, that's a mission complete. That's a mission accomplished to me. But I'm off that. But salute to Nike though. That was a beautiful commercial. It gave me chills. Let's get into this mailbag. Got a nice group of questions, and then y'all could be on y'all way. At underscore Gator Nation underscore one X, you think Walker has a breakout year? Excuse me. You think Walker has a breakout year this year, the way Chubb at NC State did last year? I don't think, and I think he's referring to Bradley Chubb. I don't think Bradley Chubb had a breakout season last year. I think he was expected to be the a top five pick before that season even started. So I don't really think it was a breakout year. People have been talking about Bradley Chubb since the year before last. As far as Ricky Walker, when you go up and down the ACC and you look at interior defensive linemen, of course you got what's going on at Clemson. But after that, you got Gerald Willis, the third at Miami. And I'll put Ricky Walker on the same tier. I'll put Ricky Walker on that tier, like tier two interior defensive lineman for the ACC. And that's a good – and like I said, you talking about Clemson's interior with Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence. They're going to be first-round picks. So you put Ricky Walker in a tier below them in the conference – hey, he'll definitely get drafted. And, I mean, his buddy last year, Tim Settle, he got drafted by the Redskins, and he made the team. So I don't know if Ricky's going to impact games like Bradley Chubb did, because Bradley Chubb was just a menace. But Ricky Walker's starting to get a lot of love by the draft people, the scouts. I saw a lot of positive tweets from NFL people and draft people. Saw a lot of positive tweets about Ricky Walker on Monday night. So that we'll just have to see. At Ricky JDS7 asks, are the goons back? And I had to say it like that because it was in all caps. The performance Monday night looked real. There was a lot of goonery. It was real goonish. Like the way people was flying around, knocking heads off. Levante Taylor got bodied a couple times. Yeah, man, I don't want to say all the goons back. I mean, but that was a goonish performance. And Brandon Flowers was on the sidelines and because he's on the broadcast team now, the radio broadcast team. But after Eric Coomer pushed, it wasn't Levante Taylor. It was another corner who was a little boy. When Eric Coomer pushed him down in the end zone and caught that touchdown pass, Brandon Flowers said, I told him, do it again. Push him again. They're not going to call you every time. Keep playing with that goon mentality. And I don't know if the kids we got are goons, because I think you're referring to the era of the mid-2000s, the mid-2000 Hokies. I don't think we got those same type of kids, but I do think they're playing with that goon mindset. And, hey, I love it. That's what you gotta have. You gotta have those players with that edge, that chip on their shoulder. And then again, nobody in the country gave us a chance, despite us even being ranked higher than Florida State. A lot of people didn't give us a chance in that game, so the kids were playing with a chip on their shoulder. Now we got to see them put it together again when everybody thinks you're gonna win. Now you're 12th in the country. You know, the media been sucking your dick all week. Now, let's see if they got that guerrilla mentality. Because it's easy to get up, like I said earlier, it's easy to get up Monday night, Florida State, ABC, everybody's watching. But can you get up, all right, 2 p.m., William & Mary coming to town, and nobody's watching but Hokie fans? Then we'll see if people are flying around knocking heads off on Saturday. Then I'm ready to say the goons are back. At TD Waterhouse asks, best high school football program in Virginia right now? That is a question I cannot answer because I live in the state of Maryland. I've been living in Maryland for 5 years. I'm in the DC area now. I'm no longer living in Virginia, but when I was living in Virginia, there were several programs that were dominant, Hampton, Phoebus, Oscar Smith. But I can't tell you honestly with a straight face who is the most dominant high school. I kind of keep up with like my area recruiting and what's going on in 757, but when I was coming up, 757 just dominated the whole state. It's not really like that no more. It's kind of different. It ain't just one area code dominating everybody. It's kind of getting spread out. But yeah, I can't honestly answer that question because I'm not in the state and I'm not really like going to the games and keeping up with it like I once was. So I can't answer that right. At C Love Chillin' asks, what does a successful William and Mary game look like to you? A shutout 50 plus is what I'm looking for. A shutout is not gonna happen. I don't you we gotta remember, we are still very, very young on defense. And what that means is we're still gonna commit penalties. We're still going to blow some assignments. We're still going to give up some points. A shutout is not going to happen. I can pretty much guarantee that. The 50 points, hopefully. 50 points, hopefully. I don't care. Like anything, because you always look at those games, the William and Mary's, the Furman's, you know, the games like that. You always look at those games like, okay, this is a stat game. Okay, this is a game where people can kind of like run up their stats a little bit. So maybe the 50, I don't know. I don't know. Anything over 40 and I'm good. As long as they not, you know, putting up 30 or some shit. You know, anything over 40, I'm good. You know, if Josh Jackson throws two, three touchdowns, runs another touchdown, I'm good with it. And then we get to see the replacements, we get to see the backups. I'm good with it. That's a successful game to me. A successful game to me is clean, no penalties, of course, it's gonna be some penalties, but no dumb penalties, no unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, you know, no undisciplined play, you know, no major injuries to either team, and we get to see the quarterback start to get his confidence under him. I'm good with that performance. If it ends up the game being 40-13, okay, whatever. At Debbie Ballard X, are the Steelers gonna pay Le'Veon? That's a good question. Not after them comments they made, the offensive lineman made. The Steelers historically just don't pay people. Historically. They play the Browns this week, let them lose to Cleveland. Somebody's going to get Le'Veon Bell on the phone. They going to get Le'Veon on the phone. That's pretty much, if they lose to Cleveland, they're going to get Le'Veon on the phone. She also asks, what's your all-time favorite Virginia Tech football uniform combination? Well, that's easy. That was 2005 when we was doing the maroon with the orange sleeve. Dog, them shit. The Marcus Vick era. The Marcus Vick era. That goon era we were just talking about. Also asks, what's Virginia Tech's biggest win of the season going to be? Well, hopefully it ain't that Florida State game. Hopefully it'll be Notre Dame. Lord knows. Yeah, hopefully it'll be Notre Dame because that game is shaping up to be one of those it could be college game day type deals. Like if we doing what we supposed to do, we should be undefeated. And if they doing what they supposed to do, they should be undefeated. And it's gonna be a big deal and college game day might be there if everything goes that hopefully that should be the biggest win of the season. At Niner JDX, Morris or Breida, who has a bigger impact whole season for San Francisco? It can't be Alfred Morris. Cannot be Alfred Morris. I'm not an Alfred Morris hater or nothing like that. I just think, I mean, Matt Breida has the speed, and he can do more with in the pass game. I think Shanahan likes backs that can catch the ball. Of course, Morris played with Shanahan in Washington, but I would rather have a back that can help you in the pass game, that could really be a weapon in the pass game than just Alfred Morris. And Alfred Morris is like a poor man's Frank Gore, in a sense where he can take a play that was supposed to be 2 yards, he'll find a way to get 4 yards. That's always been Alfred Morris' game. Like, he'll always get the most yardage, even out of a bad situation. But he's not a game breaker. I don't think anybody ever thought Alfred Morris is that. At VT in Florida 28 asks, Mary fuck kill game with fast food, Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, Moe's, and why you picked each one. Now, I would marry Chipotle. I'm one of those people. Chipotle is, and I got an abusive relationship with Chipotle. That's why I probably say marry, because Chipotle done had these scandals where they was giving people STDs and all that, giving people, they had the little STD scales. It ain't STDs, I'm joking. They was, you know, recalls and shit, people getting sick, salmonella, all that bullshit. But I keep coming back, man. I cannot stay away. They're actually building a Chipotle. It's like across the street from my house. So I'm about to, I think it's getting serious, pretty much. So Chipotle's moving in. So I gotta say, marry Chipotle. Fuck Moe's, because Moe's is like the perfect sad piece when it comes to Chipotle. Like, when Chipotle's doing wrong, I can kind of go to Moe's and get that Chipotle, the love that Chipotle don't give me, without getting too far away from my wife, I guess. And kill Chick-fil-A. Look, dog, we respect gays. We love gay people. Chick-fil-A not about to be out here disrespecting gays in any capacity. And then they're going to get love on this podcast. I don't give a fuck how good them chicken sandwiches is. I won't sit up here and say Chick-fil-A nasty, but fuck them. If they don't respect gays, fuck them. That's it. We're inclusive. This is 2018. If you're not inclusive, fuck you. And that is it for Don V Fridays. I hope y'all enjoyed the show. I got a lot of views. Well, not views, but a lot of listens on the Surprise podcast. That actually surprised me. Because normally when you drop Surprise, people are, oh shit, you know, they're not expecting it. But they're expecting Don V Fridays on a normal, my normal, you know, Thursday afternoon, Thursday night upload, or my Friday upload. They're expecting that, but they just out of the blue just drop on a Tuesday and people fuck with it. That made me happy. That honestly made me happy, because I didn't think that a lot of people would really, you know, expect it and listen to it. And they did, and people gave me good feedback about it. And that's the type of shit that's my reward for doing these podcasts. When people tell me that they actually like my podcast, when people tell me that they like my opinions, like, that's what fills me up with, like, joy and shit. People liking my content. But that's it for me, man. It's been a very hot week. Not really good. I work out in this shit. I work out in it. And today, I was suffering. I'm gonna sit up here, y'all, my family, man. I was suffering. I was suffering really bad. I was not feeling good. I was not feeling well. You got to take care of yourself. You got to be real safe out here. You cannot fuck around in this heat. You can die. You can die if you're not taking the proper care of yourself in the heat. And I got to do a better job of that. But fuck all that. That's it for me, man. God bless.